Action WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Dozens of people were hurt, up to five of them critical, after a car plowed into a group of people in Los Angeles. ABC's Melissa Don's at the scene.
Groups of people that were apparently outside here of this music venue, the Vermont, here in East Hollywood, when suddenly a car slammed into the crowd. There was a crowd because there was about several dozens of people outside of that live music event, a taco stand, a valet stand.
Authorities in Los Angeles also investigating the cause of Friday's explosion at a training facility that killed three members of the Sheriff's Department explosive detail. President Trump is suing the Wall Street Journal and its owner Rupert Murdoch for defamation, claiming he did not write a 2003 letter to Jeffrey Epstein that the paper reported. A Dow Jones spokesperson said, "We have full confidence in the rigor and accuracy of our reporting." Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 10 U.S. nationals are back in the U.S. after a three-country prisoner swap with Venezuela. This is ABC News. Republicans are continuing their probe into former President Biden's mental and physical health and his use of an auto pen to sign some documents in his name. Some in the House are frustrated by former Biden aides using their constitutional rights to decline answering questions.
It's now the third time a senior aide to the former First Family has pleaded the fifth. Annie Tomasini, who was a key gatekeeper in Joe Biden's White House, joins the former president's doctor and a top advisor to Jill Biden, all of whom have asserted their rights against self-incrimination. The chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Kentucky Republican James Comer, says there's now a, quote, pattern of key Biden confidants seeking to shield themselves from criminal liability in what he calls a potential conspiracy.
That's ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Federal authorities filed charges against a 23-year-old man from Nebraska Friday, saying he got up and tried to open the door of a SkyWest flight in midair Thursday. It was bound for Detroit. It diverted to Cedar Rapids. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. A nonprofit in northeastern Wisconsin serves people with major disabilities, but it's getting mixed messages from lawmakers on whether the families it serves will be impacted by federal Medicaid cuts. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection reports.
The nonprofit CP serves about 200 people in northeast Wisconsin that have complex physical or developmental disabilities, nearly all of whom use Medicaid to pay for their services. Julie Tesloff is the director of adult day services and says about 75% of clients are in wheelchairs and unable to reposition themselves. She explains the exercise program CP offers is crucial to prevent patients from developing pressure sores.
A sore on the butt costs a lot of money. It's like anywhere from $30,000 to $150,000. And once one of our clients has a pressure sore, it stays with them for a long time.
She says their program focuses on functional skills training using adaptable equipment funded through grants and community support. Tesloff says most of their clients are deemed to have a level of disability that could place them in a nursing home, and most are poor. About half live with their parents, who she says can easily experience burnout. She explains the day services provide respite for these caregivers and prevent costly nursing home placements for clients. Starting December of 2026, most Medicaid recipients will be required to complete at least 80 hours per month of work, schooling, or community service to retain coverage. There are exceptions, but it's not clear if they will apply to people caring for an adult with a disability. John Sindergaard Bernard, executive director at CP, says lawmakers have assured them that their clients won't be impacted.
But then in the next breath, they're all telling us that they can't necessarily be certain about that because they don't know the details. And in many cases, it's sobering to say that they haven't even worked their way through all of the legislation yet.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, 56. Some sunshine for Sunday and highs in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny, upper 70s on your Monday. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Highs in the mid 80s, upper 80s Wednesday.
It's 64 at our studios.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We have our friend Robert Lilligren starting out right away with us here from the Native American Community Development Institute, and what a beautiful day here, Robert. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Always good to be with you. It is a beautiful day. I just biked back from the office, and it's a perfect biking day. Not too hot, not too windy, sunny.
Yeah, I was at the market today, and it was beautiful, and it was
I just missed you there.
Yeah, it's great to see community and be involved in such a perfect day here. I love having you on, and we talk about positive things and things that are happening around the community. I would like to start out, before we get dig deep, what's happening at NACD right now, and what's happening basically with your organization, but also, you know, what you guys support. And I'd like to start it out in a good, positive way today.
I love it. Thanks for asking. Well, the market was today, of course, Four Sisters Farmers Market. Perfect day for it. And it was a good day at market. It was health day, wellness day. So a lot of emphasis on that with the exhibitors and the trainings and things and the people tabling. Also, as part of our food sovereignty work, we have our urban farm, Four Sisters Urban Farm. And this is what, I think week three of our internship program. And these young people, these interns are just so engaged. They love learning. They went up to Sharon Day's property for a field trip, and she, you know, put them to work, which is good, and also taught them a lot. And so that just, it feels so good, right? And then another thing that's coming up at All My Relations Arts, make sure you see Creation Story. It's closing very soon. And but also we have an open call for filmmakers. And All My Relations Arts is going to hold its first short film screening this summer. And so there is a call for submissions. The call closes August 3rd at midnight. And if folks go to the All My Relations Arts Facebook page, they can click through to the applications. But there's already been a really good response, Robert. I will tell you that. And it should be good. It should be really good. So please, all Native filmmakers who can hear me, please go to the All My.
Oops, we just lost Robert somehow. Sometimes that happens when you hit the delete button instead accidentally, but we're sure he'll jump right back on here in a moment or so. Very interesting. I think, art is healing and film is art, and that's just great. So, Robert, I think you might have accidentally touched an exit.
I didn't touch anything.
Oh,
my hands are clean. If you don't want me here, Robert, you can just.
Well, you know, I can't do this show without you. I'm the king of ums. I had about 10 ums in there while you were gone.
So the open call for filmmakers. And then another thing that's a big deal for us is we're going to remodel our offices. And you know how tiny our office is.
Yeah.
We have maybe 12 people working out of a space about the size of an average bedroom, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we're occupying the basement. We're going to remodel that, have a lot nicer space, more professional space. So that's starting August 1st. So the gallery's closed. The Creation Story Show comes down. We're kind of shifting some workspace over there, but more storage space. So we'll be kind of remote. So wow. I won't be seeing you. I mean, the market will still go on, of course. All of our programming, our Make Boating a Tradition, will still be staged out of the building. But big changes coming to next. That whole first floor that you're used to seeing as our office will become conference and meeting space.
Wow. And I was hoping that you'd put a second floor in there.
And I would love to do that. So just a little story about our building. You know, we purchased it with our partner, American Indian Community Development Corporation. We co-own the building, and we bought it, wow, maybe 12 years ago now, to be a redevelopment site, right? And to somehow, the idea originally, the thinking was to demolish it and put up something big, taller, newer, more in accordance with the vision of the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And then, you know, the economy collapsed in the 2000s. We had a downturn again. So that goalpost of redeveloping the building keeps getting moved further and further out. But putting another floor on top of it has been an idea in the mix.
Wow.
But we'll see. But we just have some immediate space needs. We're so crammed in there, we can't really even work. So we're going to do this for now and then engage the community and figure out what we should put there. But here's one of the things, Robert. Is in this interim, our little yellow building that houses Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, All My Relations Arts Gallery, and our offices has become kind of iconic on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And, you know, we during the George Floyd's uprising, we staged the Protectors out of there. We just turned our whole building actually over to the Protectors, and it gets used, right?
Yeah.
Stages from there, the Indigenous Protectors Movement stages from there. So I almost feel like it might be better for us to keep the little yellow building and to find another building on the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Well, you mentioned that too. I remember when COVID first hit and nobody knew what was going on when it comes to food and helping people. There was no vaccine. You guys really stepped up. We brought food there and for the community, and it was in money, and because it was crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy because nobody knew what was going on. But, you know, we were such food deserts here, right? And then with George Floyd uprising, even more access to food was limited. Mm-hmm. And so we converted our gallery into we called it a pop-up food shop, but it was really like a grocery store. Right, we took all the art down. It actually stored right here in this room for several months, the art. And we had the woman who is now our director of administration, Angel Swan, put together this program. It was COVID, so you had to have all these protocols in place. But yeah, for several months, it was like a grocery store in there. It smelled like a grocery store. one of the craziest parts, people contributed food like crazy, but the people contributed things like big reach-in coolers and freezers and things like that, that then we were able to repurpose into the community once the food shelf was shut down. And during the George Floyd uprising, after George Floyd was murdered, you know, I really expected our building to burn, right? Things were burning all over the place, yeah, right in our vicinity. But our community stepped up and protected our people, protected our assets, and protected our non-Native neighbors and their assets, right? There's almost no damage on East Franklin, the American Indian Cultural Corridor, because we organized protectors. And the Franklin protectors staged right out of our parking lot. But I remembered as we were kind of shutting the building down, we decided not to board it up. I thought it was going to burn. We were in the middle of the audit. So one of our staff came and took all of our audit papers to protect those. And I'm standing in the middle of the office. And I'm like, what do you take? What do you save? If you know. And so the only thing I could think of was a honor blanket that had been presented to me. That was hanging in the office. It was presented to me when I left the city council. I thought that I can't replace that, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the only thing I took.
Wow. And that wasn't that long ago, Robert. And that's amazing talking about this, because it does seem like a while ago. But hey, we're here with Robert Lugren, CEO of Native American Community Development here in the Twin Cities. And we'll be right back.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone, here. I am with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're kind of reminiscing about a couple things, but you kind of were really struck me because of the George Floyd murder and what happened and how we were protecting our area. And you know, there was bad actors coming from all over the state and other states to burn down our city.
Right. You forget, you know, how weird it was. And there were all these reports on social media and stuff of, you know, cars being filled with oil soaked rags that were going to be set on fire. People were finding piles of firewood that was drenched in kerosene or gasoline. I mean, you had to be really aware. And people throughout the city organized to keep themselves safe. I mean, some of the stories that you heard about. Remember this once or so, it was late at night. It was maybe 2 a.m. You know, it was hard to sleep during all that because of the noise and just the tension.
The helicopters.
And I was out on my patio, my terrace, which is up, you know, up a hill kind of, and so there's a main street down below us, Franklin Avenue, and some guy came walking down the street, not anybody I recognized, and he had kind of a look of a protester, you know, and maybe a little bit of an anarchist. And he had his big knapsack and is walking his dog, his skinny dog, and he stopped right below my building, and the trees were blocking, so I couldn't really see what he was doing. And he's messing around with something. I can hear this crinkling and stuff. And I thought, oh no, he's going to light my building on fire. That's the first thing that I thought, you know. So I'm just like, okay, watching, expecting to see a spark at any moment. And then a minute or so goes by and I see him bend down. So he went below the tree line and he picked up his dog's poop and put it in a little bag, you know. So he was just out walking his dog. Okay, if he's picking up dog poop, he's probably not going to light my building on fire. Right. But for me, it was really an illustration of how it just made us distrust everyone, right? A stranger walking down the street at 2 a.m. has to be up to something bad, right? And I didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling.
Well, I remember, too, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but I remember, too, that there was videos out there of people wearing masks, white people coming in and destroying the auto mart and with a hammer. And people are going, what are you doing? And then the pharmacies in the area were, you know, the Walgreens, Greens were burned down. And it's like, we didn't do that to ourselves. We didn't.
Liquor stores burned down. Yeah, with the Native Protectors got these teenagers that broke into a liquor store on Franklin. And they made the kids stay there while they called their parents.
Right.
Came from some suburb. You know, not from this community, and they made them wait for their parents to come and pick them up, and I thought that was spot on.
Yeah, that was awesome. But again, Native American Community Development Institute was right in the middle of all this, supporting the protection of Franklin Avenue and our relatives, and supporting the people that were out there.
Yeah, and you know, we gave over our building and our parking lot and everything. Our conference room was like a medical warehouse. I mean, it was really quite an operation, but we didn't really do that much. It was AIM, American Indian Movement. It was the Indigenous Protectors. It was Mike Gozy and his crew at American Indian Community Development Corporation. Yeah. But we were able to do a few things. Like, we had a curfew, right? We had a curfew. And so that was an impediment to doing protectors work. So we're able to work directly with the mayor and get a system of sort of curfew waivers that we could give our folks. And so we negotiated, you know, they had to have a identifying T-shirt. They had to have some other things. But so we could do stuff like that. But really, it was the community. The tribes really stepped up and sent people down. People came down from the reservations. And it was really an operation. There was a fire going in our parking lot 24/7, a spirit fire. They were cooking food on a grill, you know, around the clock. And so it was really a community effort.
Well, it was amazing, too, for me, being about 3 miles away in St. Paul. We had a Super America burn down for no reason. We weren't even close to the area. So there was bad actors all around. And one of the things that I had a young warrior on the show last Friday, Bear Vin, and he was young, and he remembers when he was living in Little Earth and how people were heading right towards Little Earth and looking like they were going to burn it down, and they stopped them.
Little Earth stopped a couple. They stopped the National Guard.
That's right.
Yeah, those Little Earth folks, man, they will protect their land, and I appreciate that. And there was one night the protesters were kind of coming towards Little Earth, and so the National Guard was kind of coming towards Little Earth. Little Earth, for folks who don't know, is a urban community right here. It's really the heart of the residential Native community in Minneapolis. And I was watching the live feed, you know, from the Little Earth protectors. And so I had a leader from Little Earth on one phone, and I had our lieutenant governor on another phone. And I'm like, you guys, someone's going to get shot. I thought for sure someone's going to die here. And that's what happens, right, when there are these militaristic responses. And so there's kind of this standoff. And this amazing thing happened, Robert. The National Guard retreated. They stopped and retreated. And, you know, hats off to the Little Earth Protectors for what they did for their community. And I've always wanted to know who gave that order. Somebody had to give them an order to retreat, because I don't think they just would. And so I've never been able to find out, but I would love to know. And there is a lot of actions like that where our community just behaved so incredibly well. Division of Indian Works building, when it was when it was threatened, and the National Guard was marching down East Lake Street, and there was a bunch of protectors circling that building. And I'll never forget watching the speed where the protectors were so disciplined and so well trained. So you had these armed soldiers, you know, National Guard, marching on them. And all of the protectors at pretty much in unison put their hands on top of their heads and stood like this.
Wow.
I thought it was amazing discipline.
Yeah.
It really was our community at its best.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it really talks about what we always talk about here is our resilience and to take action and support each other when it's dark out, you know, when it's getting dark. And it's getting dark now, too, with in a lot of different ways. And we're the resistant experts. I really feel terrible about what happened with public broadcasting, because that's going to trickle down to tribal stations across the country in the support. And I know Native Roots Radio gets some support from NPR too, and we do Little Moments count once a month.
Yeah, it's so painful. You know, how can a majority of federal legislators think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
And if it's, you know, I don't, if you take offense at their programming, then, well, I don't know why you would take offense at your, at their programming. And it's so valuable to so many people. Right. So we'll get through this, I'm convinced, but it's going to be painful.
Right. And I guess, too, I'd like to start talking about how we're going to turn this around, because it's really one of those things where, you know, I haven't done much door knocking for politicians, but I think it's time, and I think it's time to do things like that and really get out there and talk to people about really what's really going on.
Right. Nope, that's exactly right. And so, you know, it's the midterm elections next year. I think it's all hands on deck, right? And in cities like, in communities like ours, we know where the vote's going to go, but it's going out to other communities, supporting people in other places. And, you know, we're fortunate at NACDI to have Make Voting a Tradition program. And that's really extending out across the state, up into the rural communities, the reservation communities. But you hit the nail on the head, Robert, when you said talk to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what we learned, a few years ago now, 10, 12 years ago. But when we had an anti-marriage amendment, constitutional amendment on the ballot here, and Minnesota became kind of a testing ground for a different approach. And these constitutional amendments had passed in like over half the states. And it had always been framed as a civil rights issue, which clearly wasn't landing with people. It wasn't resonating with voters. And so tons of research, tons of strategy. And the approach was having courageous conversations, changing hearts and minds with your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers. There was a huge campaign, if you remember, where we trained people to do that, how to have this difficult conversation. There was a lot of theater involved in kind of showing people how to do it, a lot of arts and stuff. And by gum, it worked.
Yeah, and we got to go back to that, Robert. Hey, I always, always appreciate you coming on and talking to us and talking to all the people that listen to Native Roots Radio. It's really our pleasure.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Make a wish.
We'll see you next week. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Dozens of people were hurt, up to five of them critically. after a car plowed into a group of people in Los Angeles. ABC's Melissa Don's at the scene.
Groups of people that were apparently outside here of this music venue, the Vermont here in East Hollywood, when suddenly a car slammed into the crowd. There was a crowd because there was about several dozens of people outside of that live music event, a taco stand, a valet stand.
Authorities in Los Angeles also investigating the cause of Friday's explosion at a training facility that killed three members of the Sheriff's Department explosive detail. President Trump is suing the Wall Street Journal and its owner Rupert Murdoch for defamation, claiming he did not write a 2003 letter to Jeffrey Epstein that the paper reported. A Dow Jones spokesperson said, "We have full confidence in the rigor and accuracy of our reporting." Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 10 U.S. nationals are back in the U.S. after a three-country prisoner swap with Venezuela. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another win for Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Dodgers last night in L.A. 2-0. The Crew have now won 8 in a row. They remain a game behind the first-place Cubs, who beat the Red Sox 4-1 at Wrigley Field. The Brewers' Caleb Durbin with a big night for his first time in Dodger Stadium, an RBI double, and a solo home run shot in the 7th. Pitcher Quinn Priester, fans Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman to start the game on the way to 6 innings and 77 pitches with 10 strikeouts. The Brewers have now beat the Dodgers 4 in a row heading into tonight's game. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, we've played a bunch of close games against them. Things have went our way, so it helps you prepare a little bit because you're used to it. You know who's hot and who's not. You know who might be a tick off their game, and you might make a decision because, well, you know what? So-and-so's not swinging like he normally does, so we can attack him here differently.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, 56. Some sunshine for Sunday and highs in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny, upper 70s on your Monday. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Highs in the mid 80s, upper 80s Wednesday.
Right now, it's 65.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
May of 1969, I was near Doc To in Vietnam. Up until then, except for a few rockets and mortars, everything was pretty calm. But then things changed. We started getting ground assaults. Seemed like almost every night, many times they would probe the perimeter. Then they got inside. I don't know how many times, but they started bringing heavy stuff. 122-millimeter rockets. These things were 6 feet long and huge in diameter. All they did was prop them up on a tripod somewhere in the jungle and fire them like a giant bottle rocket. You would hear the whoosh when it was fired, then thump, thump. If you're on guard duty in the main tower looking out into the jungle, you could see a puff of smoke. Then you'd see them coming in. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Peace. Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach at Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and also the CEO of Native Sun, the nonprofit. Great to see you, Robert. Thank you so much for coming on, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robert. There's a lot going on in the energy news right now.
Well, let's rock and roll. Take it away.
Yeah, so, Robert, right now, there is a push by this administration to keep coal plants running. So this is a big story right now. The Department of Energy's emergency stay open orders for aging fossil fuel plants are forcing unexpected costs onto the utility customers. So this administration wants to keep these coal plants open. And what it's going to do, Robert, is it's going to basically jack up everyone's electricity bills, because this administration wants to be able to put money in the pockets of their buddies.
Yep.
And this is, I don't know what the other side is thinking. I don't know what their voting side is thinking, but I don't know how more evident this can be, Robert, of simple, you know, just cronyism.
Yeah, definitely.
And so he's keeping these smokestacks, these coal plants firing, when there are clearly renewable energy sources that have been built or being built to take its place, and it's going to cost the ratepayers millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're keeping an eye on things. This is insanity 101.
Yeah, it really is insanity, 101. And so there are memos coming down from this administration to these different government agencies, and one of them came down to the United States Department of Agriculture, and they had an energy grant application window for folks to apply for, and they abruptly just canceled it, canceled it. And so now, these people that applied for this grant, obviously aren't going to get it, but it just closed on them. And so these are usually communities across the country that, you know, are looking for ways to fight, you know, climate, you know, energy poverty, to just get their communities resilient for climate change. We all just seen that horrible flood that just came through that small Texas town just recently.
Yeah.
And so these are what these grants go out to, like, help these communities deal with. And this administration just canceled all these grants, or told this government agency, the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, to cancel these energy grants. It's just terrible. It canceled the application window.
Jeez. Well, I'm glad you're on top of things and let our audience know about how insane this is, and to give people more information, because of the 24-hour news cycle, we need to be talking about this constantly over and over again, Robert.
I agree, Robert. Another one here, this is mind-blowing, Robert. The rest of the world, it says here, is investing more in clean energy, $2.2 trillion around the world. Not the United States, Robert, not the United States. Right. The rest of the world is investing over $2.2 trillion into clean energy and electrification projects this year.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the United States is just falling farther and farther behind because of this administration. And Robert, you know, I want to make this point out to all the viewers right now that clean energy is like the basis of world leadership. The reason why we were able to, you know, lead the world the last 100 years, and we were able to afford this beautiful lifestyle that we have in America, is because we had cheap energy. Cheap energy leads to world leadership, leads to world dominance, leads to, you know, economic independence, leads the world economies. And that's what the rest of the world has figured out.
Yeah.
Because we have an administration that gets bought out by special interest, specifically the fossil fuel industry, we are going to fall behind because our politicians, unfortunately, are being bought and paid for.
Exactly. You know, just drill, baby, drill, baby. I mean, that's something that you might have heard in the 60s. Now he's brought it back in a terrible, terrible way.
And I hope this happens, Robert. I really hope this happens. But critics fear Trump will use a Department of Energy report to push pro-coal agenda.
Jeez.
Yeah. The Department of Energy has whipped themselves up a pro-coal report, and they're afraid that President Trump is going to use this in his campaigns. And I'll tell you what, Robert, I hope he does, because it's all lies. It's all misinformation. And I mean, I'm sorry, Democratic Party, if there was ever a time, Robert,
exactly.
If there was ever a time we needed you, this is it.
Well, and also mainstream media that doesn't report this and has normalized this rapist, felon convicted person. I just, thank goodness you're here and we're on all these progressive stations across the country. Thank you, for bringing the report and bringing real news up.
Yeah. And Robert, I just cannot believe. I mean, this is like what we would call a walk off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A walk off home run. Like, literally, this is a walk off home run. This is like the defense going and just sitting down and saying, offense, go do what you got to do. So I'm telling you, if we can't take advantage of this moment, of this time, I'm sorry to say, people, we probably deserve what we get.
Right. Well, and then the things that we talked about in the last few days with the Epstein list and all these things that he ran on fixing the economy and lower prices the first 90 days and getting us out of the wars. And he's just done the opposite and is destroying the economy. So either one, he can become a hero and build it back up, or just take it over.
Yeah, and I just feel kind of like, and this would be my plea to Ken Martin, right, for the Democratic National Party, right? Ken, I totally get the corporate Democrats. We got to appease them, and I totally agree. But right now, we've got to go the exact opposite. We got to get over to the Bernie, to the AOC side, probably to the David Hogue, from the Parkland shooting, that kid. We got to get over to their team right now, because I'm telling you, if we're going to win back if we're going to win this back, that's where I think this country wants to go. And I don't think it's, back to the, centerpiece, where the corporate Democrats live. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know if that's where we need to go. I think we just need to go straight on with those guys, get on their backs, and let's bring it on home for the home team. You know what I mean? Bring on the win for the home team.
Well, and not only that, Bob, but let's bring the truth and the reality of it and not worry about mincing words with the what has been called the limousine liberals. I think we need to bring the new breed in, the people that are seeing this. I know we talk about the younger generation. We always talk about the seventh generation as being native, but younger generation knows that they're not going to get the same perks that we did. They're not going to be able to buy homes, and they already aren't being able to buy homes. We got a new owner of the Timberwolves who his big claim to fame not only was steroids and baseball, but he owns $150,000 doorknobs. And you know what that means? He owns all these houses, and that's what's going on with the economy of trying to buy a house. They just ramped up the price of homes.
Well, Robert, that I was bringing that up when I was running for city council.
Right.
You know, I remember talking about that and people were like, no, it's just supply and demand. I'm like, no, it's a little different than that. It's corporations. It's investment firms buying up these homes and artificially controlling the price of home values in said city. And that's why, you know, I was totally against it when I was running for public office. And I said, let Minneapolis have that trash. Let Minneapolis have those problems. And St. Paul, you know, let's continue to provide and be able to allow families to raise their kids and families there. And that cuts down on crime. That cuts down on all kinds of other bad things that happen when families are here raising their families. And, you know, I said, that's where St. Paul's got to be. And another thing to that, too, Robert, like, you know, our arguments, you know, are going to be, if we go way to the right with these guys, it's going to be, you know, they're never going to be happy. If we go to the left, they're never going to be happy. So, you know, we just got to be like what Bernie and AOC are saying and just present our argument and let's just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Forget all the rest and try to please everybody. And that's my point to Ken Martin, right? Like, forget about everything we're trying to please. We can't please everybody. Let's just give them our argument and let's just go for it, because where these people are at right now are literally off the United States of America. They are literally not on this island with us.
Absolutely. And we saw what happened last time. But I hope that people have a good memory about what's happening, because, you know, one of the things they did in that big, beautiful, crappy bill was that they made it staggered, these things that are going to hurt poor people and BIPOC people. And they staggered it out a couple of years. So if the Democrats do get in, get running the things, they'll get blamed for these things that were in this big, beautiful, ugly bill.
Well, I love what Stacey Abrams did, where she like basically broke it down. You know what I mean? Like, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to cause chaos, mass confusion. You know, they're trying to get civil unrest so they can implement their, you know, military state. You know what I mean? And I just believe all that is happening right now, Robert. And we got to stand together and stay together. And, you know, everything's going to work out if we keep the faith. You know,
is that the update here from Solar Bear?
That is the Solar News with the Solar Bear.
Thank you, Bob Blake from Red Lake. I just had to say that one more time.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No.
Oh, no.
Hey, that's a good one. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a co-founder of Native Roots Radio, which we've been getting Native our relatives updates here for over 9 years, Wendy.
Woo! Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke. Kake Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And we work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So I was out shopping. I was out shopping a couple of weeks ago.
What?
Yeah. And I went to this little tchotchke store.
What does that mean?
Tchotchke. Tchotchke is a slang word. I think it's Yiddish. Tchotchke. It means like little things or novelty items. So it's
like little
tchotchke things, like little knickknacks.
Yeah,
really.
Knickknacks, yeah.
But anyway, I went to on Grand Avenue here in St. Paul to a place called Good Things. That's the name of the store. It's called Good Things. And it has a lot of things. It has like women's clothes in it. It has like jewelry. It's household items. But like nice things that you would go into that store to buy a gift for somebody. They have cards and stuff. But Robert, I found this really cute. Excuse me. I just have to clear my throat. A really cute little bracelet. Now, I was shopping for little birthday gifts for our daughters. Mm-hmm. You know, usually give them some money, but I like to pick them up a little something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw this cute thing. It was a bracelet with a little giraffe on it. But not only that, but they had all different kinds of these little bracelets. They kind of like stretch onto your wrist. They're kind of made of beads, and then they have like a little animal on it. So mine was, I picked the giraffe because I like giraffes.
Aww.
Yeah, but they have all kinds of little animals. And the weird and the fun thing about this, I'm going to give you the name of it. It's called Phallo, F-A-H-L-O.
Hmm.
That's the company that makes these bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
But each bracelet tracks the animal that's on the bracelet.
Wow.
Yeah. So you open up the paper after you buy the bracelet. It was really inexpensive, too. The bracelet was like $16.95, right?
Wow.
For a really cute little bracelet. And then you open up the little packet and it gives you a QR code to scan.
Mm-hmm.
Now you download the free app and I get to track my specific giraffe. So I'm online right now tracking my giraffe. My giraffe has a name.
Oh.
Yes, my giraffe's name is Fazio, F-A-W-S-I-O, and it's a Somalian name meaning survivor.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, these animals are tagged and then they're tracked for conservation. Right. Oh. So we're watching for environmental changes, habitat changes. They're watching for poachers. Right.
Good.
And really watching this animal, and they could track it. So I go online and I'm looking at my giraffe, my specific giraffe called Fausio, F-O-W-S-I-O. Yeah. Anyway, he's in Africa. So on the east coast of Africa, near Kenya, and I could see the satellite view of exactly where this animal is right now. And then as you zoom in, it tracks the animal and tells you like how far it went, where is it going, you know, all these things. It's like so interesting.
That's crazy.
Now, I believe that you can go on and get this app for free. Again, the app is called Phallo, F-A-H-L-O, F like Frank, A-H-L-O. And you go on. And I believe I just did this a little while ago. But I think that you could go on and track an animal that you're interested in. See, now it says I could track another animal. I could track another giraffe if I want. But I think I'd have to, like, pay a little bit of money for that. But I just think it's like so interesting. And I was reading about it a little bit and they said that the tracking is delayed. So like when I went on tonight, it said the last time it saw my giraffe was on July 13th. Right, today's the 17th. And you know why they do that?
Why? Oh, I do know. Go ahead.
Why? Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
So poachers can't track them.
That's right. So poachers can't track the animal. You're absolutely right. Or if there's somebody who's a poacher, right? And they go on to find the sap. They can get the other, you know, they could find the giraffe. Isn't that unbelievable? So, yeah, it's delayed like 3 days.
That's cool.
Yeah. So then they say most of these trackers last for 2 to 3 years, right? If the animal, something happens to the animal dies, they'll give you another animal to track.
With the same purchase?
Yeah.
Wow.
The same purchase. Yes.
Wow.
And then usually if you don't see anything for about 3 months, it usually means something could have happened to the device that's on the animal,
okay.
Right?
It fell off
or something. Or sometimes these animals go into such remote areas of the jungle that the satellite can't even find them. So sometimes, you know, if you go on in a daily basis, you could see where the animal is, but the animal, you know, 3 days ago might have been in a really remote place and the satellite couldn't, you know, find it.
Wow.
But what is this? $17, $16.95. It's a really cute little gift. I can't remember what animal I got Jelaine. Do you remember what animal I got her?
No, but she said
I remember what I got her. And I know why I got it for her. It just came to me. I'm such an idiot. Oh. I got her a turtle, a sea turtle. Because I remember when her and her husband went to, I can't remember where they went in the Caribbean somewhere.
Isn't that her son-in-law?
Our son-in-law. Yeah. Who did I say?
You said her husband.
Our husband. Yeah. our son-in-law. Oh my God. Anyway, they went somewhere and she said the favorite part of her trip was they went to see the release of all these baby turtles and these turtles that were in a rehabilitation
place.
Right? So she said, I just love seeing the turtles. And, you know, we watched them and they, you know, went down the beach and there were all these people on each side of the turtles making sure they got into the water safely.
Cool.
So I got her a turtle bracelet.
Nice.
I'll have to ask her tomorrow when I see her if she, you know, got the barcode and scanned it and stuff. And it's really easy. I mean, anybody could do it. But they had like a sloth. They had a tiger. They have like all kinds of animals.
Which one would you pick for me?
Oh, what would I pick for you? Oh my gosh. What
the
kind of
sloth?
The sloth? Because she's slow?
What?
It's an inside joke with Robert and I, you know, because I'm from New York, so everything happens fast and we're loud and it's a lot. And then when I met Robert, you know, he was like so calm and peaceful and
slow.
So I remember my mom was asking me, well, tell me about him. So I was like, you know, well, he's the St. Paul guy. He's like really nice and he's kind and he's slow. I said he's just sounding kind of like slow. So anyway, maybe I would get you a sloth, but they had all kinds of animals. And I just think it's like a really fun thing. I mean, it's a fun thing for even kids, you know. Maybe I should get one for Renzo and Olivia. They would probably like it.
I think it would be cool if Native Roots Trading Post could hook up with an organization like this. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could look this up and see if there's anything like we could reach them or look them
or
up.
Or start our own.
Each bracelet tracks the animal, and it's really, you learn your giraffe's name, the story, their family, you follow them, incredible track on their exclusive tracking map. And it's in partnership with the Somali Giraffe Project, so
cool.
That's where my giraffe came from.
Awesome. Big Peeny Gigi, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. We'll see you next week.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Alba Show.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time after a massage, a chiropractor appointment, and some sleep. We'll be back with regular programming from Madison on Monday. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Dozens of people were hurt when a car plowed into a crowd outside of a music venue overnight in Los Angeles. LA Fire Department spokesman Adam Van Gerpen said,
"The scene when they arrived was very chaotic. Ultimately, there ended up being a total of 30 patients. So out of those 30 patients, seven of them were critical, what we call immediate.
And three are still listed in critical condition. A total of 25 people transported to hospitals. Authorities are investigating what happened. Search for answers also underway after the explosion Friday at an L.A. Sheriff's Department training facility that killed three members of the department's explosives detail. Authorities say nobody else was hurt. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 10 U.S. nationals are back in the country, returned as part of a large-scale prisoner exchange. And President Trump signed the first federal legislation that regulates cryptocurrency on Friday. This is ABC News. Passengers on a Delta flight from Los Angeles to Atlanta had a quick return.